Today we're talking about kingdom come. And I thought that was so perfect. Kingdom come. We pray it all the time. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But I don't think we really grasp what kingdom looks like. And so today we're going to talk about kingdom. And the name of my message is Goodbye Labels. Goodbye Labels, because Jesus, one thing he taught when he came to earth about the kingdom of God was that he threw out some labels. He tore up some labels. He definitely did. And I found myself this week as I was preparing for this message, I'm like, Lord, why? Why are we labeling people so much more, it seems like, now than ever before? I feel like there's been an escalation in us labeling people. You have this label, so I can't associate with you. Or you have this label, so I have to do an angry face emoji on your Facebook post. You have this label, and it's separating us, right? And I was like, Lord, why? Why has it gotten so much worse in the last 6 months, it seems? And I try to be like Natalie, look for the gold, but sometimes it's just exhausting to see all the not gold, you know, all the dirt. And I felt like God reminded me of many years ago, I think 13 or 14 years ago, when I was going through a divorce. And, okay, I need to tell you something about myself. I hope you can still love me. I am not a clean freak. I like my house organized, and I like things in the right place. But if you, on any given day, if you come with a white glove, you will leave with a dirty glove. Okay? My baseboards are usually sorely lacking in attention. You know, I don't vacuum every day. I don't. So anyway, keep that in mind. But when I was going through my divorce, I turned into a clean fiend. Like, I cleaned all the time. And it was very unusual for me. Like, I could not clean enough. And so at the end of one of my counseling sessions, I had a great Christian counselor. He said to me, he goes, Sandy, anything you're concerned about right now you want to talk about? I said, yeah, I can't stop cleaning. And he goes, really? I go, yeah, it's very unusual for me. He goes, are you still sleeping okay at night? You're not cleaning when you should be sleeping, right? I go, no, I'm definitely sleeping. And you're not cleaning when you should be giving attention to your kids, right? I go, no, it's when they're gone. He goes, don't worry about it. He goes, it's your subconscious attempt to control the one thing you can control right now. Because your whole life is just out of control. And so you need something you can control. Don't worry, it didn't last long. But I felt like when I prayed and said, God, why are we using labels so much? I felt like he said, our lives are spinning out of control right now. And the one area we can have control in is by labeling people and gathering our tribe to ourselves. And so it feels like control. And I mean, after all, you can't control whether you wear a mask or not. You can't control where you go sometimes or when you go. You can't control a lot right now, right? But I can control who I like and who I don't like. Except that's not kingdom. You see, if I had been harming myself or others in my effort to clean, my counselor would have said, wait, we need to stop this. We are harming ourselves in the way we are tossing labels around. And so today we're talking about goodbye labels. Goodbye labels. You might have noticed you found in your area there might be a yellow piece of paper with a marker. If you don't have one, there's a couple of ones laying around that aren't being used. And it says on there, hello, my label is... And I provided those for you because I believe that as I speak today, God is going to whisper in your ear a label that someone has put on you that has made you feel alienated or disqualified. Or he also, I think, is going, I keep hitting those flowers and I'm kind of destroying them, aren't I? I think he's going to speak to you about something, a label that's been put on you or a label you've put on others. And if he does, no matter when I'm speaking, I want you to write that down on that yellow piece of paper. You can write it so small that nobody else can see it, or you can write it big enough that everybody can see it. It's up to you. But I really want you to write it down. I want you to listen to the Lord and say, God, is there a label I have put on myself, or I've let someone else put on me, or is there a label I've put on someone else that doesn't look like your kingdom? Tell me. And then write it down, okay? We'll get back to that later. Point number one, in Jesus's effort is the wrong word, example of getting rid of labels, we see number one, Jesus chose unlikely disciples. He did not choose the disciples that most of us would have chosen if we had been in his place. We're going to zoom through these because most of them are very familiar stories. I will have the reference. Well, they will have the references up there. So if you want to look at it later, look at it. But first of all, he chose fishermen. Fishermen, unlearned, not scholarly, rugged, probably dirty fishermen as disciples. We see that in Matthew 4:18. What an unlikely label. Like, fishermen? Really? The second type of disciple he chose that's very unlikely are tax collector? A greedy, admitted, thieving tax collector. He chose a tax. He took that label of tax collector and he said, goodbye, come and follow me. Goodbye, tax collecting, come and follow me. Wow. We see that in Matthew 9, verses 9 and 10. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple. He did not let the label of tax collector keep him from calling Matthew. Even his disciples were like, say what? The fishermen were like, say what? Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guest, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. Talk about a label being destroyed. Not only did he call Matthew, but then Matthew called all of his greedy, thieving friends to come. Come on, let's have a dinner party with Jesus. Jesus did not let labels stop him. Why are we? He also chose unknowns. We see that in Matthew 10:3. We later learn that Thomas had a little problem with doubting, but we really don't know Thomas, anything about Thomas before his life with Jesus. We don't know anything about him. What did he do for a living? He was an unknown. Some people in this room right now, I believe, you think God can't use me because I'm an unknown. I have had the same thought. We all have those thoughts where we're like, and God says, I don't care if you're unknown. I know you. I know you. He also chose Simon the Zealot. The only thing we know about Simon is he was a political radical. He was zealot. He was a zealot, right? We don't know what he did for a living. We don't know what his evil deeds might have been in the past. All we know is that. So there was an unknown factor, but Jesus still chose him. So I love that Jesus takes the label of unlikely disciple, of unlearned fishermen, of unknowns, of notorious, of greedy, thieving tax collectors. He says, come, follow me. This label means nothing to me. Follow me. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. Goodbye, labels. Goodbye, labels. Number two, Jesus welcomed people with a past. Jesus welcomed people with a past. Oh, I want to look more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. He welcomed people with the past. Again, many of you know this story. In John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, we see that Jesus welcomed a lame man. Now, this man had been lame for 38 years. In that culture, when someone was lame, it was assumed it was because there was some sin in his past. So it was very multi-layered. It wasn't just poor guy who's lame. There was a lot of assumption that happened with that. He was someone who was tired and hopeless. We know this because when Jesus said to him, hey, why don't you get in the water? Or what do you want? What do you need? He goes, I try to get in the water. Every time I try, someone beats me to it. I can't get in the water fast enough. And I can hear how tired he is. I can hear how hopeless he is. And really, someone who kind of made excuses for his own situation. It's so easy to do that. It's so easy to get stuck and then make excuses for being stuck. Jesus didn't stop. You don't deserve to be healed. See ya. Nope. He took the lame man and he said, be healed. Get up and walk. He also welcomed the guilty. In John, that's a bad word in our culture, guilty, right? There are times when I'm guilty. I'm just guilty. I'm guilty of missing the mark, right? The guilty. John 8, chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, we see that someone was caught in the middle of her sin. I'm not going to go into it because we have children here. She was caught in the middle of her sin, right? And she was thrown at Jesus' feet. And he said, goodbye, label. He said, listen, I think what he didn't say spoke as loudly as what he did say. Because he could have said a lot. He could have said a lot. If you want a good message to listen to, I was listening to Holly Furtick this morning. I have a message before the message. I love listening to messages on Sunday morning before I come to church because it just gets me in the right place, you know. And YouTube is a gift. It really is. And I was listening to Holly Furtick speak a message. It was called Shut Up and Shine. I know I don't usually say those words, but I loved the title. She talked about how what we don't say can cause us to shine more than if what we do say. It was really good. If you want to look it up, it's excellent. On YouTube, Holly Furtick, Shut Up and Shine. It's very, very good. But Jesus did not condemn the guilty when she was brought to him. He said, leave your life of sin, but I love that he didn't throw a stone. He could have. He could have encouraged everyone around him to throw stones, and instead he said, listen, welcome. Welcome. He also welcomed someone with a bad reputation. You remember high school? Oh, she's got a bad reputation. Bad reputation. We find that in John chapter 4 when Jesus encountered a woman at the well who was of a different race and she had been married 5 times and she was living with a man who wasn't even her husband. And he didn't disengage from her. He didn't unfollow her on Facebook. He didn't do that. He talked to her and he said, listen, I see that what you're hungering for that's causing you to chase after men, I can fill that. I can give you water that will cause you to never thirst again. Even though you're of the wrong race, I shouldn't be speaking to you. Even though you're a wrong gender, I shouldn't be speaking to you. But instead, I'm going to offer you living water. He welcomed people with the past. He didn't look at anyone and say, disqualified. We do. He didn't. And then the verse I'm going to read, it comes from Luke 15. Because Jesus also welcomed the notorious. You figure out what that means. In Luke 15:1-2, it says, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. Right? Jesus welcomed people with a past. He welcomed people with a past, whether they were lame or guilty or bad reputation or notorious. He welcomed them. I'm amazed. I talk about it with people regularly. I'm amazed that notorious people felt comfortable following him and listening to his teaching. It makes it very clear in Scripture. They weren't there to taunt. They weren't there to protest. They were there to listen to his teaching. How did he live in such a way that people, that the rest of society said, "Ooh, they're bad"? Somehow they felt embraced in his presence. How is that? Goodbye, labels. Goodbye, labels. He didn't disqualify anyone based on their beliefs or even their behaviors. That's hard to swallow, isn't it? He healed the guy making excuses and feeling hopeless. To the guilty, he said, "I'm not condemning you. Let me give you an invitation to a better way to live." That's what I think "go and sin no more" means. I don't think it means "go and sin no more." I think it means there's a better way to live. You don't have to live like this. It's an invitation. Listen carefully. If I am disqualifying people based on their labels, I am not partnering with the kingdom that I pray to God to bring down to earth. There's a problem. God looks at every person with vision. He doesn't look at them with hopelessness. So if you hear yourself saying, or if I hear myself saying, "That person can't be a Christian if ... Oh, check yourself. Ooh. That's not partnering with the kingdom of God. I heard this week someone say, "The devil hates all people. He hates Republicans. He hates Democrats. The devil hates Joe Biden. The devil hates Donald Trump. The devil hates black people. The devil hates white people." You understand where I'm going? He hates all people because people carry the DNA of their creator. Check Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, right in there. Check it out. People carry the DNA of God. So of course the devil hates them. But if he can get me to hate someone, do you understand? I'm partnering with the kingdom of darkness, not the kingdom of God. "Well, I don't hate anybody." Well, if you hear yourself saying that person can't be a Christian if ... check it out. You might be hating. Check it out. The last group I want to talk about, we might go over 30 minutes today. Maybe not, but I'm going to try. What did he say? "I'm going to try, Miles. I know it's hard for you kids. I get it. I remember being a kid, and my dad was up preaching, and I was like, oh, man, is he ever going to stop? I remember. The third group I want to talk about are the pious. The pious. What does pious mean? What does pious mean? People who think they're better than others. That's what it means. And what I find hilarious is that sometimes we get pious with pious people. Wait. That's like judging people for judging others. Let's get logical with this a little bit, right? We see in Matthew 9, verses 11 through 13, We're picking up from the last passage where the Pharisees saw tax collectors and notorious sinners eating dinner with Jesus. We're going to read that verse again and then continue this time. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" You can hear it dripping from, you can hear the pious language dripping from their mouths, right? I have been there. I have done that. I'm not throwing stones. When Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do." Then he added, "Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." Then there's this whole chapter in Matthew chapter 23, if you want to read that later. It's harsh. Jesus is like, "Woe to you Pharisees." And then he says, "Hypocrites," a lot. He says it multiple times. And that word hypocrites, I think we have twisted it to mean something it doesn't mean. We have made it into basically people who are sincere in their faith, but who blow it from time to time. They make a mistake and we call them a hypocrite. That's not what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite is actually an actor, a pretender. Someone who pretends to be perfect, but behind closed doors or in secret, they are not. And they are intentionally living a double life. That's a hypocrite. But here's what I want to point out. Even in confronting the pious, he didn't say, "You can't be part of my kingdom." No. In fact, he's offered them a better way. He said, "Go and clean the inside of your cup." I don't think he said it, "Go and clean the inside of your cup." I think he said, "Come on, there's a better way to live. Go and clean the inside. Check your heart." John Christ wasn't the first to say that. Jesus said it first. Check your heart. And then he says, and this part gets me, "Oh, how often I've wanted to gather you under my wings to protect you, but you wouldn't let me." He said to the pious, "Listen, I want to rip up that label. Just come and get under my wings. You see the mother love there? That's the heart of a mother love right there. Come and let me protect you. I can show you how to be safe in your flaws. You don't have to hide them from me. Come and gather close, and I will tear up that pious label." I don't appeal to you today as a preacher. I don't appeal to you as a scholar, probably ever. I don't appeal to you as a hellfire and brimstone, doom and gloom person. Today, I appeal to you as a mother. That's my heart for this message today. And if I'm not old enough to be your mom, yay, I'm your sister, or I'm your grandmother, or whatever. I'm your mom, or I'm your grandmother. I'm a grandma now. Yay! He's the most gorgeous child ever. Sorry. I appeal to you as a mom, or as a sister, or as a grandmother today. And I say, what kind of kingdom are we leaving for the next generation? My little grandson, Oakland, what kind of world is he going to grow up in if we keep using labels to divide us? Huh. Where God says in Scripture, "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I can make them as white as wool." Listen, this is not about putting guilt on you. Because if it is, I have to put guilt on me first. That's not what it's about. But I do think repentance is a gift. Repentance means changing your direction, changing the way you think. If you're going one way, it's where you stop and you recognize you're going the wrong way and you turn around and you go the opposite way. That's what repentance is. It shouldn't be a bad word. It's a gift. It's an invitation to a better way of life. So if you walk away, or if I walk away from this message today feeling guilty, you have listened to the enemy of your soul, not me, not my mother's heart, not the Father's heart. He is an invitation. It's time to get rid of the labels. So what label have you written down on your paper? What label has been put on you? Do it now if you haven't done it yet. What label has been put on you that makes you feel disqualified? What label have you put on others that disqualifies them from being part of the kingdom? Write it down. It's so beneficial to write it down. I know it seems a little elementary, but there is something freeing about acknowledging it. There's something very freeing. What label has been put on you? What label have you put on others? If you don't want anybody to see, fold it. And then we're going to pray, and then we're going to tear it up, okay? God, we come to you right now, and we repent. We repent of allowing people to put labels on us, and we repent for putting labels on other people. God, it may have been done with a desire to control one area of our lives, but God, that's not the way you taught us. Ultimately, our job is not control, but surrender. It's the opposite of control. And so we ask you to forgive us. And I thank you, God, that you love to forgive. You love to forgive. You love to offer a better way of living. And so with the tearing up of these papers today, we acknowledge that you and your kingdom are the better way than our way. You and your kingdom are the better way. We will not put our hope in our kingdom. We will put our hope in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Rip it up.
And please clean it up after you're done today on your way out. Please. Clean up your area, right, Midge? Clean up your area. It helps. Yep. So goodbye, labels. Goodbye, labels. And listen, I want to say one more thing. We're almost done. One more thing. If this message encouraged you today, did you know you can go on Facebook and share the worship and the message even though you were here live? So you can encourage someone else, right? So when you go home today, get on Facebook if you're on Facebook and hit share under both videos on our page that were shared today, the one of our live worship and then the message that I recorded, and just share with your friends. It's a good way to encourage other people. So if it challenged you to a better way of living, share, okay? Next week, we will continue Kingdom Come with a message that God gave me all at the same time as he gave me this one. I'm like, wow, you're giving me a lot of stuff. Oh, it's 2 weeks. Good, okay, because it would have been another hour. The message title for next week is A Different Culture. A Different Culture. I'm looking forward to sharing that with you. I hope you have a great week.